The year 2022. The Curve Wars continue to rage. Redacted.
Hello, Redactors. Welcome to another episode of Redacted Radio. I'm your host, Goose, and I'm with my... Oh, sorry.
You're fine. No, keep going. No, you're the host. Go ahead. What are you saying?
We're the hosts. I'll start again. Hello, Redactors. Welcome to another episode of Redacted Radio.
Of Goose's podcast.
I'm your co-host, Goose. I'm here with Tez. How are you, Tez?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. We're talking about the Curve Wars today.
We are. It's happening. Curve Wars episode.
Finally, you've been gunning for this episode for a while now.
I have. Because I actually made the intro for this episode before the podcast even started.
Months ago.
Yeah, before we even had episode one out.
When are you going to put that in?
Well, the people would have heard it by the time we're talking.
So I guess a little basics of the Curve Wars.
Bit of a primer.
Is that Curve was built as a protocol to build liquidity between trading pairs. And for a protocol, it's vital that you have a high level of liquidity, which measures the strength of your protocol. So Curve kind of gamifies that. And so it's a protocol's best interest to gain liquidity, and they use Curve to build on top of that.
So there's a bit of a war between protocols to gather as much governance over that liquidity.
Yep. Because if you hold the Curve token, you get a say in where the liquidity is directed.
That's
right. And so you can direct it towards your own pool.
Yeah, we're just saying that now because we realized we jumped straight into it and we forgot to actually just say, what is the Curve Wars?
Yeah, we've got Funky and Figgy and Magnus joining us this week.
Yep.
So some big brains and also Magnus.
Shots fired. Actually, Magnus was awesome this episode. He really helped simplify some of the complicated concepts.
Yeah, exactly.
As you will hear.
Are you going to jump into it now?
Yeah, we can do it.
All right.
Let's go.
Roll the tape.
Redacted.
All right, guys. Episode 4, The Curve Wars.
Yes.
We're here with Figgy. How are you, Figgy?
I'm pretty good, guys. Just coming back from the mountaintop again, bringing the goat along with me.
And of always, we've got Magnus. G'day, Magnus.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
GM.
How are you?
GM.
Good morning. And we have Funky Bot. How are you, Funky?
I'm pretty good. We had a rough night in general yesterday, but still here.
Nice.
It didn't seem that bad. It seemed like you were having a lot of fun, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, It might have been.
Just quelled some FUD.
Yeah.
It's all in a day of a mod's life.
Yeah, what are we here today for, Goose?
We're here to talk about the Curve Wars. A very basic introduction because it's a very complex system.
It is, but it's very important to redact it, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's why we've got these big brain people to help us explain.
Oh, to be perfectly honest, it's the best that you could get for this week.
We try to get big brain people, but...
Yeah, we're stuck with Magnus.
Yeah, it's like, damn. Really scraping the bottom of the barrel there.
You have to make me come down from my mountaintop.
Exactly. Now we have to get Figgy, but it's not any better.
So let's start off by talking about Curve and why Curve was created.
Just for everyone out there, it actually started out as a project called StableSwap. It was purely focused on providing the most efficient means of swapping between stablecoins with the most minimal amount of slippage possible, and basically just to be able to maximize your value when you swap it between different stablecoins. That's what they call like an automated market maker. It makes it a lot easier for users to be able to interact with this particular dApp, like a decentralized app.
So stablecoins are basically a blockchain version of one US dollar. And so the blockchain versions are USDC, DAI, USDT, and there's 100 others. To trade within certain tokens, you need a certain stablecoin. And if you held a million USDC to a million USDT, StableSwap or Curve Finance, and decrease the slippage, which is the percentage of trade that you lose.
To explain slippage real quick, because I guess that's the important factor that people find good about Curve.
High liquidity equals less slippage, which means if you had 100...
Let's explain what is slippage.
Well, it's the arbitrage between like the asset, right? So like again, going back to like the stablecoin, if one is worth like 101 and then one's worth 98 cents, like Curve essentially gives you the best rate of that arbitrage because they have the most liquidity within that, right?
Yeah. So for example, you're transferring 100 USDC or $100 of USDC and getting $99 of another stablecoin in return. And that slippage is the 1%. And having a big AMM like Curve with lots of liquidity means it decreases the amount you lose with that transaction.
Yeah, because it needs to always keep equal value in the pool, right? So if there is an imbalance, if say there's more DAI than there is USDC, then it will fluctuate the price. So if there is more DAI, then DAI will be undervalued and USDC would be overvalued in that pool. That would be what the slippage is to create the balance in the AMM.
But it's based on the whole prospect, like the amount of the asset within that pool. So if one is more like air quotes rare than the other, then it'll price it according to what supply is actually available within those pools. So if you have a greater depth of liquidity in those pools, then you will experience less slippage. But given that Curve Finance entirely focuses on stablecoin swaps, they have their mathematical big brain algorithms there that are in place to be able to prevent a vast differential swapping between those two assets.
Because it's better to be a drop in the ocean making these trades.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't want to lose out trying to swap between two particular assets that are pegged to a dollar each. You just want that as efficient as possible, which would then encourage people to provide liquidity and, you know, utilize that particular platform. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, going back to what we talked about before, an AMM is basically an automated market maker. Traditional exchange, you'd be like trading against like the order book, like a peer-to-peer type of order book. But in the case of an automated market maker, you're basically trading against a pool of combined assets. And it's a lot easier because you're basically trading against like a mathematical algorithm instead of like a peer-to-peer order book on a centralized exchange.
Okay, so I guess should we explain then, why is Curve the go-to place for exchanging stables? What makes Curve so good?
So Curve came out just around DeFi summer 2020, and it was a period where, you know, there's a massive amount of DeFi activity coming along, and being one of the first stablecoin AMMs was a really good place for it to kind of start building liquidity. And since then, it's kind of really grown as essentially the biggest DeFi protocol in all of crypto in terms of like total value locked. It's got more total value locked than some of the alt L1s. And because it has so much liquidity, you know, it's the go-to place to trade if you don't want slippage. The Curve economics make it so that it is quite attractive to provide liquidity there. And if you're looking to have a kind of a low-risk stablecoin yield, that's where you want to provide your liquidity. And correspondingly, if you want to swap stablecoins with low slippage, that's where you want to go.
Okay, so it's good for people to trade their stablecoins on there to swap them, but it's also a good place to provide liquidity with stables as well. There's a lot of incentives to do that if you wish to stable farm.
Curve does offer a lot of yields to the LPs. That's why it's an important player within the ecosystem.
It was $22.5 billion worth of TVL, so they must be doing something right.
Were you putting that in as a placeholder for me? No.
Magnus is tuned in to how this podcast stuff is. Yeah. You know, he puts in these tidbits and they're going to make it.
I do, man. I just throw it in and then you can do the wow.
And how's Mario doing?
Let's go. And it, every time Figgy speaks, it's just meh. Yeah.
And then the anytime you're mentioned now, it's literally just like whoosh, and then the goat.
So I guess there are more than one incentive to provide liquidity to Curve. Should we touch on the other ways that someone can be incentivized to provide liquidity?
Well, again, going back, it's a yield paid in kind. So an example of that would be USDC. As well as they have another form of a yield is a paying out in governance tokens, which would be provided by external projects looking to incentivize yield as well. So that going back to Spell, another form would be Curve Finance tokens as well, paying on top of depositing within the LPs.
Those CRV tokens, hey?
CRV tokens, yeah. That will kind of move us into why the Curve Wars is extremely important. And that's where the gauge opens up.
You can get paid in the CRV token, which is the Curve Governance token. Why would someone want to hold the CRV token?
You want to take this, Funky?
So there's like a few uses of the CRV token. The first one's for like governance. So kind of like with any other kind of DeFi protocol, you can use it to vote for governance proposals, etc. But then Curve has this very innovative governance mechanic called vote escrow. That means it's basically if you have a CRV token, you can lock it up for up to 4 years. And the longer you lock it up, you'll get more VE CRV tokens. So vote escrowed curve tokens. And with these vote escrowed curve tokens, you can vote. So because the longer you lock and are long-term incentivized with the protocol, the larger the voting power you have. And this is really important for the governance proposals and even more importantly for voting on what we call gauge weights. And what these gauge weights are is essentially deciding on where Curve's emissions go to in terms of pools. So if you have, say, for example, a USDC, USDT pool, and you really want to have a lot of Curve emissions going there, then you would, you know, use your VE curve to vote for that gauge. And that means that if you have money in that pool, you're going to be receiving more Curve rewards. There's two other uses as well. Yes, there's the governance, there's the staking where you receive a portion of the trading fees, and then you can use Curve rewards to boost your Curve rewards. So for example, if you're providing liquidity in one of the Curve liquidity pools and you also hold a certain amount of Curve tokens, you can boost your Curve rewards by up to 2.5 times.
Yeah, so for those that have used Curve and you know how you can see the different APY, APR percentages, that's basically what Funky's alluding to. So based on the amount that you hold or lock up, whichever, then you can receive like boosted.
Oh, is that how it works? So the more you lock up, the higher an APY you can get. When you see that range on the Curve homepage, it was like, say, 10 to 20%, depending how much you add in, would be the percentage of APY you receive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why there's a range, because it depends on, you know, whether you're a pleb with no Curve or if you're, you know, a massive whale with tons of Curve. So it's the boost.
When the protocols... sorry, hang on. What
Take
am I saying?
Two. Slate it.
So I guess very big players noticed that holding a lot of these CRV tokens can be quite beneficial in the long term. And these big protocols came and saw that if they, as an organization, bought lots of CRV, they could dictate a lot of where the liquidity gets pointed towards and they could farm rewards on a protocol size level. And that's where the Curve Wars began. Should we touch on what Convex has done to build on top of CRV?
Yeah, so the way it's happened in the past, this is sort of zooming back a bit, like around DeFi summer times, like where Yearn was quite prominent, still is very prominent. Yearn used to farm a ton of the CRV tokens and then basically would dump them for whatever asset to buy back and then redeposit those particular tokens back into the vaults that they had set up. Basically, Convex rocked up one day and was like, "How you going?" And then realized, I actually think this is quite beneficial to actually hoard a lot of these CRV tokens, because with what the guys had explained before, in accumulating governance power and then being able to delegate and pick whichever gauges they feel would receive the higher bonus multiplier with emissions is actually something that's quite beneficial. So once Convex entered the game and started hoarding this governance power of CRV, they were able to maximize which vaults, or which gauges, I should say, would be receiving the highest level of emissions. And then that actually forced Yearn, as well as a few other different protocols, to rethink the way that they were modeling their strategies. And that's sort of why these different protocols have been battling out who would control majority of the CRV tokens in circulation and being able to point that influence to the gauges that they would like to have majority of the emissions come from.
Yeah, and then Yearn pivoted and decided, well, let's, as a protocol, accrue as much Convex token as we can.
Exactly, and then they leveraged it and incorporated it into their strategies as well. There's other functions that Convex does as well. Yeah, would you be able to expand on that a bit, Funky?
Yeah, so I mean, there's two kind of uses for Convex for, you know, people who want to control the VE Curve voting power, but won't be locked in for 4 years. And then there's people who have Curve LPs and want to get that juicy boost. So the first one is, you know, if you're a Curve token holder and you don't want to lock up for 4 years, you can go to Convex and then they'll lock up your token for 4 years and they'll give you an IOU token called CVX CRV, and that token is essentially like a representation of that locked Curve that Convex has. And with this CVX CRV, you can stake it in Convex to get three different types of rewards. You can get three Curve, CRV itself, and then CVX. So it's a very good way for a layman who doesn't want to lock for 4 years to still benefit from locking, but has a more liquid alternative. Convex has a CVX, CRV, and CRV pool, which allows you to basically trade back between CVX, CRV, and CRV. So that really provides the liquidity, as opposed to the VE CRV, which is locked for 4 years and you cannot trade it.
Wow, what a mouthful of words, man.
Yeah. I know,
you should drop an album, man. When funky album.
I'm not quite as accurate as Eminem, though.
When funky spits.
He drops the fire.
Fire in the booth.
I can get a rap name, but I can't rap.
Just did. So many CVs.
Dropping bombs. CRVs, yeah. Left, right, center.
If you're a smaller Curve LP who doesn't have the CRV tokens to boost, what you can do is you can take your Curve LP tokens, which are basically a representation of your ownership of that Curve LP pool, and you can stake it in Convex. Convex will use its massive VE Curve voting power to get you that boost. And you get three types of rewards, kind of similar to the rewards that you'd get if you just LP'd directly with Curve. So you get CVX CRV, and this is basically the CRV rewards that Convex gets from your Curve LP tokens, but then they automatically lock CRV for CVX CRV. So there's kind of like a flywheel effect there that if you do provide liquidity there, it benefits Convex, but then you also benefit from the higher boost. And then you also get the CVX rewards and some governance tokens, kind of like Figgy was saying with Spell, for example.
The prospect and the mechanisms that they have in play definitely allow the end user to have more flexibility because of all that lockup. It kind of limits how liquid you can be. So there are a lot of pluses to Convex being introduced into the ecosystem.
The really good way to explain how Convex is blackholing so much Curve is that when you do go to Convex and you decide to lock up your Curve token, it's like a one-way process. It's never coming back. You can have that CVX CRV, but Convex will always have control of that Curve token.
In a layman's term, how does Convex function differently to Curve? What is it that Convex is doing that Curve?
So Convex, in a nutshell, is just like a booster of yields. They basically accumulate as much CRV as possible, the Curve token. And because they have a lot more Curve tokens than everyone else, they're able to pick and choose which gauges that they want to designate higher yields. And the baseline yields that you can see on Curve, you can do that yourself. But the added bonus of if you stake it and provide your liquidity on Convex is that they will also provide you with their native token, the CVX Convex token, which is why you receive a higher level of yield than you would if you were to just stake only and solely on Curve.finance. And that's basically why a lot of these protocols and individuals prefer to stake on Convex instead of just on Curve itself. So it's a good way to get a boosted amount of yield because you receive different types of tokens, and ultimately you just have a larger range of return because you have different basket of tokens received as rewards.
Would you say that's probably why Convex has been so successful so quickly, is because it has incentivized so many people to lock their Curve token into their protocol because of those extra benefits they would receive doing so?
As well as the fact that you aren't committed for 4 years, which is a very long time in crypto.
Yeah, I mean, people do that for the fluidity and flexibility with Convex, and that's why it's been so successful thus far.
But if you think about 16 weeks, which is 4 months compared to 4 years.
Yeah, digestible period of time.
Absolutely.
Allows you to move your assets around more as you choose, right?
Because, yeah, 4 years in crypto is like a century.
4 months is like 4 years in crypto.
Wonder where we'll be at in 4 years.
Hopefully we make it past summer. Thanks, Sunrise King.
Yeah, summer party.
Is that an alpha leak?
Summer yacht party?
I am, only for the people who are listening.
On Magnus's yacht.
It's still in the workshop, guys.
Will it be ready by summer?
Hopefully Figgy will come down from the mountain, hang out with us, grace us with his presence.
Yeah.
Love it.
Goat on the yacht.
Gotta bring the goat on the yacht. If users have any questions or any thoughts as to, like, maybe they don't understand the different tokens, the CRVs, the CVX, we do have an in-house education. Again, like, if they want to refer back to the conservatory, they're more than welcome to. We've broken them down, and Sims has done a fantastic job with that as well. So it's pretty easy for people to go and understand at a beginner, intermediate, and gig ahead level.
Absolutely. We always put the conservatory in the show notes.
Yes, we do. You know what they say, butterflies together strong.
Yeah, ducks fly together. Yeah, is that?
Sim is going to, he's going to come and find you, bro.
Butterflies together strong, educated butterflies together stronger.
Well, I think touching on those three, that would move us essentially into the Curve Wars, right?
The modern day Curve Wars.
The modern day Curve. So I guess once Curve came along and had those juicy bribes, Oh, sorry. Once Curve came in. Ah, fuck. Convex. No, Convex. Once
Concave?
So Convex. Once Convex came in.
Sorry.
And fuck you guys.
This is a community-driven podcast, guys. Don't mess around.
So once Convex came along and had those juicy gauges, there was a protocol called Votium that came along to gamify the Convex system. Should we touch on how Votium affects the community? Because Redacted staked all their Convex into Votium as well.
So if I'm a giga whale, how could I LP into Curve?
I think anybody can LP into Curve, but then there is some kind of limitations as to who can vote to direct gauges. So there's this thing called a whitelist, which only allows certain smart contracts to vote with VE Curve and influence the gauges. And at the moment, there's, I think, 3 smart contracts which are whitelisted, and that's Yearn, StakeDAO, and Convex.
To summarize, the whitelisting is mainly there just to approve those that have the mindset of the correct alignment with the protocol, because the space is still so early, right? Admittedly, there's a ton of liquidity locked up in the protocol, but it's ensuring that the protocols that are whitelisted have the correct alignment in place. So longevity and for the protocol.
Therefore, any protocol essentially outside of Curve whitelist can use CVX. So essentially they can circumvent the Curve whitelist, right? And then over time, less CVX is emitted for every CRV that Convex accrues. So that means essentially that a CVX token controls more VE CRV voting power over time.
Once you hold Convex, you can lock it in for a minimum of 16 weeks. What is the benefit of locking your Convex?
So it's essentially locking in your earning CVX CRV from when you lock in your CVX, right? And then you gain a 10% P on that LP, which essentially would boost your earnings. Alternatively, CVX can be locked as well to vote on the gauges. You would have your voting powers of Convex VE CRV. Over time, going back to the less CVX is emitted for every CRV that Convex secures, meaning that a CVX token controls more VE CRV voting power over time.
I was just going to summarize that, by locking your Curve into VL Curve for locked Curve, you are able to direct Convex's voting power.
And then along came Votium, which was an incentives platform that was built on top of the VL CVX token, or the vote locked CVX token. And Redacted has used Votium with their Convex. So shall we explain what Votium is?
Yeah, I can take this one. So with Votium, they're basically providing a mechanism and a platform for people to effectively bribe their way to point their voting power towards a particular gauge. And they basically will end up rewarding the individuals that, if they align with that particular bribe, so to speak, they'll then get extra rewards. Most of these protocols have basically figured out that it's actually cheaper to bribe. Based on the math, if you look at the way everything's working right now, it's actually cheaper to bribe for voting power than it is to undertake that sort of mechanism themselves. It's much more efficient, it's 1 to 4. So for every dollar that they bribe, they can get $4 worth of return back, $3 to $4 approximately. It's a very interesting type of incentive mechanism at the present moment. So if you do hold a significant amount of Convex, it's a very beneficial thing, which is why Redacted Cartel has accumulated a lot of Convex, and we're receiving a ridiculous amount of bribes each cycle.
Why has Redacted decided to onboard a whole bunch of Curve and a whole bunch of Convex?
For Redacted, we take in as much Convex as well as Curve assets, basically to take advantage of all these different things that we've listed earlier. It's an interesting metric in the way we intake additional assets, because the more of those CRV as well as CVX tokens we accumulate, the more influence that we can have over these particular protocols. And then we can basically designate that governance power towards the gauges that we choose to, and basically build up the backing of Butterfly Token over the course of time.
Essentially creating a layer 4 within the Curve Wars.
So I guess the other thing that Redacted's doing, similar to Votium, we've acquired the Hidden Hand, which we're going to touch on next week. But that is also an incentives protocol. But as Redacted owns Hidden Hand, we will receive a cut of all the bribes, and some will go to the protocols, treasury, and some will go to the people who might be locked in to a bribed locked butterfly. But we're going to touch on that next week.
Like, in terms of the audience, I don't think they're all about the ticker names.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you get me.
And yes, if you don't know any of these, being introduced to 7 different tokens in one podcast is a bit
it's a bit fucked.
It can be a bit confusing. It can be a real curveball. He's just staring at me.
Nah, man. That was good.
Yeah, well, that was actually pretty good.
All right. Yeah. Might keep it.
And record it.
Kill it. He's killed it.
Exactly. It's gonna be like an outtakes episode.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. I mean every episode's an outtakes episode if I'm
Redacted.
Congratulations, everyone. You're now an expert in the Curve Wars.
It's a very complex protocol, and if you still don't understand it, that's totally fair.
But we got through it. We covered it. We might do a follow-up on the Curve Wars.
We might expand a bit further down.
Yeah, and maybe explain a bit more what Redacted's role is in the Curve Wars and going forward.
So what do we have next week?
Next week, we have another guest, a new fresh face on
a
the pod.
Big guest.
Yeah, who we got, Goose?
We've got Sammy.
Sam the man.
So we have the exciting announcement about the Hidden Hand. So we're going to talk to Sammy in depth about what the Hidden Hand means for Redacted and how it can provide more value to the holders of the butterfly token.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, it sounds really
super
cool.
Super bullish.
Yeah, bullish. Yeah, that covers it for this week.
Yeah, I'll see you next week.
Catch you on the next one. Cheers.
And then you're going to do another awkward exit.
We don't do it. No, we don't do it. Awkward. We roll off smooth at the end.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. Not anymore.